Well, I love this passage of scripture that Kim just shared with us this morning. I am always blown away by it, and as I prepare to share this message with you, God gave me some fresh insights into appreciating why this particular story is included in the Gospels. When you read this Gospel passage, one is immediately aware that tradition was important to Joseph and to Mary. Luke 2:41 declares, every year his parents traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. Every year they did this. It was one of their traditions. I mean, think about what you did to get ready for Christmas this year and how much that involved tradition, even leading right up to Christmas Eve itself and Christmas Day. Now, I don't much favor those who want to dismantle all tradition. Last year, for example, in my journeys driving up and down the I-75, there was a billboard. I didn't see it this year, but it was there last year, and it said the following: I miss hearing you say Merry Christmas. And then it was signed underneath, Jesus. Yeah? Because everyone today says, well, happy holidays. And it's becoming more and more of a reach to hear that wonderful exhortation, those words of encouragement, Merry Christmas, that are shared. The point is that we are now a culture that is run amok with political correctness. But despite our political correct culture, tradition is still important. It was important to Joseph and Mary. Think about Passover. This was a very, very big event with lots of planning that went into it. Especially if you're taking a road trip like they did to Jerusalem, and it involved lots of relatives. Think of traditions and relatives, oh joy, right? So as the text progresses, it simply states that after Passover, the family packs up the SUV and they head back to Bethlehem. Leaving Pittsburgh, they get to Cleveland and they discover, like in the movie Home Alone, that their young man, Jesus, because 12 is actually a coming of age into manhood, into Judaism, that their young man was not with them in the traveling party. Now, this I must stop because our first impression might be, what? Joseph and Mary were a day into the trip before they really figured out that Jesus was missing. He wasn't present. He wasn't there. But hey, think of all of the people, even Christians, who don't just lose Jesus from their life for a day or two or three, but who let Jesus go missing for days and weeks and months and years. But we have an amazing faith. People who never put in the effort to backtrack to see where it was that they lost Jesus or lost their faith. And that's what this narrative is all about, backtracking. I mean, we might get down on Joseph and Mary and call them lousy parents, you know. I suppose if they lived in our era, we would report them to social services, right? We might say that they should have known better, but at least they cared enough to go back to search for Jesus. That's more than what some do when they lose Jesus. So here's what I want you to hang on to. Jesus is worth going back for. He absolutely is. Besides, Jesus was in a large traveling party, as the text tells us, so let's not be too harsh on Joe and Mary. Obviously, there were other friends and family members who kept a watchful eye on each other's kids. This was kind of the done thing. You can't do it too much more anymore these days, but I remember the time when I was a kid, and perhaps you do too, when basically my mom would let us out the front door and we'd run outside and we'd be all day outside playing until either the street lights came on or, you know, you heard mom open up the front door and call for dinner, you know, or while we were out playing, there was also the many watchful eyes of other mothers within the neighborhood. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's right. So all of this is normal. What's not normal is that after the network of moms reported Jesus' absence, and I truly believe it was the mothers that reported Jesus' absence, you know, because men have a tendency to kind of trundle along and not pay too much attention, but this got on the mothers' radars, and they sounded the alarm. And so they searched for him for 3 days. 3 days. We have an amazing faith. Every once in a while, and I'm thankful that it is infrequently, as I'm again driving up and down the interstate, I'll see on one of those highway electronic information boards an Amber Alert, and they'll put the description of the car and then also the license plate if they have that. They'll put that up there. Sometimes now I get Amber Alerts that come into my cell phone. But back then, in Jesus' day, they didn't have Amber Alerts. You know, there was no flashing board that said Jesus is not here with us. They didn't have cell phones or GPS tracking devices or DNA profiling to help them out. They just had their eyes, their ears, their common sense, and an ability to ask a lot of people, probably strangers who they didn't know, if they had any information on the whereabouts of a 12-year-old boy. And you can only imagine how many 12-year-old boys there were running around Jerusalem at Passover. Probably like looking for a needle in a haystack. And so this morning I want you to think about the intensity of the search. I want you to think of the parents' utter panic in losing their child. Think about how that mom felt that we all heard about in the news about, 7 or 10 days ago, when her car was stolen from her as she was pumping gas at the convenience store. Someone stole her car and she had left her little baby in the back seat of the car. That was recently in the news, and thank goodness they recovered not only the car, but more importantly, the baby. And I think all of Greater Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky were going through that agonizing search with that mother as the news media was reporting upon this. Those were 7 agonizing hours that that mother was separated from her little baby. Think of the restlessness of Joseph and Mary. They wouldn't have slept a wink. I want you to think about their please God, please God, please God, please God prayers that all people utter when there is a tragedy or a personal loss that comes upon us. I want you to think of Joseph and Mary finding their son in their imagination lying dead somewhere in a gutter in the city of Jerusalem. I want us to think of their anticipated grief and the funeral that they were going to have for Jesus that flashed through the minds of Joseph and Mary. Now, none of this does Scripture describe, but it wouldn't take too much to believe that this was the natural reaction of 2 loving parents whose child had gone astray. And then after 3 days of sleeplessness, talking to countless people, of solid searching day after day, there was a lead, there was a tip. The boy that you're looking for, your son, I think that he's in the temple area. I think I saw him there. I think someone else saw him talking with the teachers of the law. So you can imagine Joseph and Mary dropping everything and dashing up to the temple as fast as their legs could carry them. You can imagine them sweeping Jesus up into their arms, so thankful to God that they had found him. And you can imagine their mixed feelings as parents of both anger and utter relief. This was the emotional roller coaster ride that Mary and Joseph went through for those 3 days. And it comes out in Mary's comment to Jesus, you know, and I can just see her with her hand on her hip there, you know. "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." In other words, Jesus was gone and his mother was beside herself. No phone call, no text message, no little breadcrumbs dropped behind him as little clues, you know, to set forth a path to be able to find him again. Nothing. And it's obvious Mary was pretty angry. But oh, that people would put the energy and the effort into finding Jesus that Mary and Joseph did. Now, wouldn't that be an amazing faith? Now, I have had, and I know this probably hasn't happened to any of you, but I have had times in my life where I have been seriously lost. I kid you not. Once, when I was just a little guy, I was seriously lost at Niagara Falls, Canada. I got ahead of my parents, and I just walked on, and maybe they got distracted or busy or whatever, and I looked behind me, and there was no mom and dad. And I was lost, and it was serious, and, you know, I didn't cope with that too well. And then later on in life, in my teenage years, I went with someone to the Museum of Natural History in New York City, and somehow or another, we got separated. And I was just completely panic-stricken. I felt completely lost. Now maybe you're different, but you know, I just kind of went to pieces because I was lost. I kid you not. And as a kid, when I went shopping with mom and dad to the mall, the very first thing that I would always look for to find in the mall was we'd walk through the door, maybe we'd get out into the main mall area, and I would always eye spy the lost child area. That was my preparation because I knew if I got separated or something happened or a lot, okay, there it is. There's the lost child area. You see, when I'm lost, my friends, I want to be found. I don't enjoy being lost, not knowing where I am. But Jesus shows not an inkling of panic, not an ounce of anxiety. Da-dee-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da. He's quite happy, you know. Hakuna Matata, don't worry, be happy. Sitting there having this grand conversation, this skillful, life-changing audit of the souls with these PhDs of the Jewish law. There he is. Reading between the lines, here's what Luke wants us to grasp a hold of. Jesus is never lost. Wow. This is one of the cornerstones of our amazing faith. And if you're with him, neither will you be. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know about you, but when I have misbehaved as a child, I had better have had a pretty well constructed explanation as to why I did what I did. Sometimes I have to have pretty well constructed explanations for Janet, even today, you know. But when I was a child, I should have a pretty good explanation, especially if it involved hurting or upsetting someone else. But Jesus' very plain, matter-of-fact explanation is, why were you searching for me? You should have known that I was in my Father's house the whole time. Isn't that where I would have been? It's like, where else would I be, Mom? But in my Father's house. In other words, Mom, Dad, I cannot believe you bent over backwards and went searching all over Jerusalem, but you guys never thought to look for me here? Come on. And oh, how we search here, and we search there. We search high, we search low, looking, seeking, worrying, but we never think to look for Jesus in the obvious place, here. Isn't our faith amazing? Jesus can always be found. There are so many people that think that Jesus is hard to find. You know that? Can I get an amen? They think that Jesus is hard to find. Why, I truly wonder, would God send His one and only Son only to make Him inaccessible? Only to make Him hard to find? Only to obscure Him? God wouldn't do it. That's why the star was sent, to make it so plain and obvious, the signal, the sign in the sky. Think of the wise men. They just followed the star. If you are willing, God always makes a path to the one who saves us. God is not so mean that He wouldn't show you and I how to be saved. We can put so much of ourselves into finding Jesus, but He's here with us, right in front of us, just like the children, very quickly. There. They found Him. Amazing. And so this Christmas, my friends, think of your amazing faith. Think that you needn't comb the rafters to find Him. He is as much here with us as He was with the teachers in the temple so many years ago. You just have to believe. And when you do, you will be amazed.